Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I have new equipment. I have a new mixing console. This is like my old Yamaha mixing board, but totally amped up and bigger, and it has more input so I can do better interviews, and I'm really excited about it. It also has special effects, like this voice changer, so that I can sound funny and do different things with my voice and maybe sound like all kinds of neat stuff. So I look forward to experimenting with that. My concern now is just getting the levels right so that, like I used to have that problem of my breathing being too much. And so hopefully that is addressed here and it still sounds okay. It sounds good on my headphones. So we'll see. All right, but let's actually get to the topic of today. I'm going to be reading the EL 814. That is the Postal Employees Guide to Safety. And I'm going to do it like I did with the ELM, where I'm going to read I'm going to read it word for word, but I'm going to skip parts that are irrelevant. Like there's a big section on like how to mechanic work on vehicles. And so we don't really need to know about that, but I'm going to read the relevant parts. I'm going to read most of it. And then I'm going to talk about some of the parts as well. And you know, with the ELM, when I did that, it wound up being this really useful tool for me as a steward where I now had this searchable document because I copy and paste all the relevant stuff into a Google Doc and then I add my annotations on there as well, the things that I'm going to talk about. And so it makes it really easy for me to go into the ELM now. I'll just go into that document. When I'm looking for something about sick leave, I can just type sick leave into the search bar and it takes me to those sections and it's really useful. So now I have a similar document for the EL 814. So this is what I present to you today. So let's go ahead and get into it. Handbook EL 814, Postal Employees Guide to Safety. And again, I'm going to be skipping some sections that are either irrelevant, if they're irrelevant and uninteresting. There's some stuff in here that it wasn't particularly relevant, but I found it interesting. So you get to hear those parts. So anyway, you're welcome. The cover page, explanation. The Postal Service is committed to providing its employees and customers with a safe and healthy environment and complying with applicable safety laws and regulations. A key strategy in the Postal Service's transformation plan is building a highly effective and motivated workforce. A safe and healthy workplace, free from safety hazards, is important for helping us achieve that goal. This guide provides Postal Service employees with policies, procedures, and guidelines pertaining to safe work practices. And I am definitely hearing my breathing in my headphones. So this has a high pass filter. And that, if I turn that on, then it might make my voice a little bit less rich, but it's supposed to cut down the low end noises. So we'll see if that makes a difference. Next, introduction. Going on. Restriction. This material is to be used only during authorized work hours and on Postal Service premises. So does this mean that what I'm doing here is prohibited? I'll read that again. This material is to be used only during authorized work hours and on Postal Service premises. Now, I'm off the clock right now. They're not my boss. They can't tell me what to do. But this manual, if you can only use it while you're on the clock, then can I study it when I'm off the clock? It doesn't sound like it. And so if with that restriction in place, I don't see how any carrier could be held accountable to what's in here because nobody is given time on the clock to read the EL 814. It just doesn't happen. So I'm going to flout, you know, I got this off the internet and it's publicly available and they can't stop me from reading it. So I'm going to flout this restriction and I'm going to read it to you. If I get in trouble for it, I'll let you know. Introduction. This booklet provides simple, easy-to-locate safety rules and procedures so that you can familiarize yourself with those rules that apply to your job. The booklet is intended for reference only. It is not to be taken off Postal Service premises and should be used only during regular work hours. So here again, they're saying that like, yeah, you can only do this, you can only read this while you're on the clock. So to me, if management ever references something from the EL 814 in a discipline case, you point to that right there and be like, look, not only you know, if you want me to know this, you have to give me however many hours it takes to read this 64-page document. Otherwise, you can't hold me accountable to this stuff. Okay, going on. The booklet is not intended to be all-inclusive, as it cannot cover all the conditions that may arise on your job. Your local office may have more specific rules to supplement these requirements. Although the Occupational Safety and Health Administration does not cite employees for violations of their responsibilities, each employee shall comply with all occupational safety and health standards and all rules, regulations, and orders issued under the Act that are applicable. Occupational safety and health programs are generally the same for workers in states covered by OSHA. The omission of any safety information from this booklet does not reduce your personal responsibility to remain alert and use good judgment when performing your duties. If any rule or procedure is not perfectly clear to you, ask your supervisor for clarification. Learn and use all the safety rules and procedures that apply to your job. The Postal Service welcomes any suggestions you may have that might improve the safety of operations. Submit your suggestions to your supervisor. You may wish to submit a suggestion using the eIdeas program on the Postal Service Blue page. As an alternative, you can use PS Form 1270 Idea Proposal. All right, so I've never heard of PS Form 1270 Idea Proposal. So when I encounter something like this, I go online and I put in USPS PS Form 1270. And the EL 814 came up and that it references this form, but I could find no such form on the internet. So if you have a Form 1270 or if you have seen a Form 1270, please send one to me, because this seems like a useful tool where you could, you know, give your ideas to the Postal Service. Now, you know, what the Postal Service does with them remains to be seen, but apparently such a form exists. All right, next. If you observe an unsafe condition or an unsafe act, report it to your supervisor immediately. Use PS Form 1767, Report of Hazard, Unsafe Condition, or Practice to document the condition. If you wish to remain anonymous, file PS Form 1767 directly with your installation safety personnel. Without revealing your name, they will immediately give the report to your supervisor for necessary action. In such cases, safety personnel must not disclose the name of the individual making the report. So we've talked about this on other episodes where we go over the 1767, and it is a useful tool because copies of that form go to like district safety, and management has to respond on there what they're doing to abate this safety issue. So don't be afraid to use the 1767. All right, now we finally get into the rules. Section 1. General safety rules. A. General rules. Safety rules are for your benefit. Observing safe work practices and Postal Service safety rules is a primary responsibility of all Postal Service employees. General safety rules include, but are not limited to, the following rules. Never work under the influence of intoxicants. And that seems like a pretty good rule. Never sell, possess, or use illegal drugs on Postal Service premises. If you are required to take physician-prescribed drugs that could impair your mental or physical abilities, you must notify your supervisor. Never drive or work around moving equipment while under the influence of drugs. It reminds me of a joke, I think it was Mitch Hedberg, that said that his mailman is also his drug dealer. He doesn't know he's my drug dealer, but that's where I get my drugs from. All right, anyway, next. Never keep contraband materials such as firearms, dangerous weapons, fireworks, intoxicants, or illegal drugs on postal premises. Never engage in horseplay, scuffling, fighting, or playing practical jokes on Postal Service premises. Dude, no horseplay. Do not run in Postal Service facilities. Do not run. Hey, that applies out on your route too, right? Do not run. It says right here, do not run in Postal Service facilities. Hold the handrail when walking downstairs. Do not toss or throw packages or bundles unless required by the operation, i.e. culling belt, etc. I presume that's like when with parcels, you may be required to throw the parcels. I don't know if we're not trained, and this is actually going to come up later, that we're not trained in the distribution of parcels. And so if there are proper procedures from that, you really need to be trained on it before you take up that job. Next, Observe all warning signs and notices that have been installed for your protection. Comply with all safety and health regulations, procedures, and practices, including the use of approved personal protective equipment, PPE. So this is part of, like, with route inspection, your union will tell you that part of the time you get is to go to, like, the bulletin board and read the notices that are on there. And this is where stuff like that comes from. You know, those notices are put up and you are entitled to time to read them. Next, keep your work area in a safe and healthful condition through proper maintenance of property and equipment. Immediately report safety hazards and unsafe working conditions to your supervisor. Keep physically and mentally fit to meet the job requirements. It's funny because when I started the job, like, I was on doing a lot of walking and I lost a bunch of weight and I got really healthy, and I knew some carriers who were really heavy, and I'm like, how can that be with all the walking? And I remember I said it to one guy in particular, like, dude, how do you stay heavy with all this walking? He's like, what walking? I'm on a cluster box route. I don't walk. So, and then, dude, mentally fit. I mean, I don't know how many of my coworkers, myself included, would pass a mental fitness exam. All right, moving on. Drive defensively and professionally. Extend courtesy in all situations and obey all state, local, and postal service regulations, including wearing a seatbelt when driving a vehicle owned, leased, or contracted by the Postal Service. And it'll get into this later, but we also have to obey all traffic laws, including laws that relate to parking. B, environmental protection. Comply with environmental protection regulations, procedures, and practices. Participate in pollution prevention by recycling, reusing materials, and reducing waste. This reminds me of an anecdote when I was training on the job, where toward the end of the day, we were getting ready to head back to the station. And so I asked my trainee, I'm sitting in the jump seat in the back of the LLV, and I asked my trainee, hey, can you hand me a couple rubber bands so I can tidy some of this stuff up? And she starts reaching into the bucket that we use as a trash can. And I'm like, wait, have you been throwing those rubber bands away? And she's, yeah, after I use them, I just throw them in there. Why, do we reuse the rubber bands? Yes, we do reuse the rubber bands. Next, conform to Clean Air Act requirements by carpooling or using public transportation. I don't think the post office actively encourages this. At least I've never heard of it, where they're like, hey, let's see who could carpool to work. Like, I've had to do that a couple times, you know, if my car's in the shop or something, that I've had to get a ride, and I don't even know who lives near me. I got to start asking around, hey, can you come pick me up? C, office safety. This is one of those sections where I don't find it particularly applicable to us, but I did find it interesting. So maybe you'll find it interesting too. Office safety. Keep unattended drawers and doors closed in desks, file cabinets, etc., to eliminate tripping hazards and sources of cuts or abrasions. This is good advice. I mean, I can feel it. In my mind's eye, or in my mind's soft sides, I can feel hitting the corner of an open cabinet door and having it dig into me. Like, it is definitely a hazard. On the top drawer, or open the top drawer of a file cabinet slowly, standing to one side of the file cabinet. When you finish with one file drawer, close it before opening another. This is a good tip so that the cabinet doesn't tip over. You know, if you have, like, one of those big file cabinet with a bunch of files in it, you pull that top drawer out. If it's heavy enough, it's going to tip over that whole file cabinet. Next, fill the lowest drawer in a file cabinet first to reduce the chance of its tipping over. Place heavy objects in the bottom drawers. So again, this is that same rationale. Keep the tops of file cabinets, bookcases, etc., free of files, papers, books, and any other materials. I like this one because management is accountable to safety rules just like we are. And so if your management's file cabinet is a mess and they got paper stacked on top of cabinets, bookcases, etc., hey, now it's time to hold management accountable. Or this is also an opportunity to point out disparate treatment. Like, hey, how are you going to give me a hard time for violating this minor safety infraction when you have this other minor safety infraction that you're just turning, you know, looking the other way? Next, keep all debris picked up off the floor, especially rubber bands, straps, and paper clips. Keep cubicles and workstations clean, neat, and organized in a manner that presents a pleasant appearance. So again, You know, for me, this is one of the reasons that I eventually stopped being a T6 and wanted to get my own route, is because I don't like having a bunch of papers just like stuffed into the corner of my case, like where the carrier and door mail is supposed to go. All that stuff is kept clean. And yeah, when you see like a strap, like the plastic straps on the floor, please pick them up. I understand you're not a custodian, but those really do present a trip hazard and we want to look out for each other. Next, keep your floor area dry. If you spill water or some other liquid on the floor, wipe the floor dry immediately to eliminate possible slipping hazards. Call your supervisor for assistance when cleaning large spills. The next one on here is climbing. I skipped that one. Don't climb. 3, lifting. Lift with your legs instead of your back. Ask for assistance when the object is too heavy, is awkwardly shaped, or blocks your view when you carry it. So there's more coming up later about lifting, and there is some stuff in there that's really applicable to what we do as carriers. There are actual procedures for when you get heavy parcels. Like, we'll get to it later, but it says like don't put them in your hamper, because then you got to lean into the hamper to get them out, and that's a potential hazard for your back. E, dock safety. Do not smoke anywhere on the docks or when you are loading or unloading trucks, trailers, vans, railroad cars, or any other vehicles. And never jump off the docks. Use approved steps or ladders. I know that smoking is still allowed in some places at the post office. My station has a designated smoking area, and then you can still smoke inside the LOVs and the FFVs, but apparently not on the dock. Next, rest bars. F, rest bars. These are the cushioned seats that you might see clerks use who are doing mail distribution, where it's like a standing height seat that's kind of at an angle, and you know, and it's to make it a little more comfortable to be standing for that period of time. So carriers are allowed to be seated while they're casing, and so I see no reason why a carrier might not also be able to use one of these rest bars, is what they call them. So moving on. Rest bars are designed to support individuals in an upright, backward-leaning position while working at some stationary activities. Do not use a rest bar as a stool for sitting with the cushion in the flat position. The seat can be raised or lowered in height and firmly seated at any point between 25 inches and 36 inches. Adjust the seat angle using only the slots provided in the seat support. Resting the seat support against the welded stop is not allowed. Keep at least 1 foot on the rest bar when using the rest bar. If you put 1 foot on the rest bar, your foot must be on the bar rest rather than inside. I'm not super familiar with what these things look like, but I assume they're somewhere like you could tuck your foot and they don't want you to do that. After using the rest bar, fold the seat down flat and place it in a safe location, possibly near the working case. Be sure that the seat support does not stick out. Next, we're skipped down to G, personal portable headsets. And presumably these rules apply to earbuds, which are basically the same thing. All right, guys, I got bad news for everybody, including me. The use of headsets is permissible only for employees who perform duties while seated or stationary, and only where headset use does not interfere with performing duties or constitutes a safety or health hazard. So the good news is it does make it seem like you can wear them while you're casing. So that's something. Moving on, do not wear or use headsets while walking or driving. Like if you're out delivering your mail right now, listening to this podcast, that is prohibited. It's too bad that you were never given an EL 814 and given time while on the clock to study it. Otherwise you might know that rule. Oh, well, all right, moving on. Oh, but you know that brings up that point that if management tries to discipline you for wearing earbuds and they cite the EL 814, part of your defense is going to be, I was never given time to read an EL 814. It's not like I can read it at home. You know, you're going to have to give me however many hours is necessary to read the EL 814 if you want to hold me accountable to it. Do not use headsets while walking or driving, while near moving machinery, while involved in oral business communications, or while in contact with or in view of the public. Personal portable headphones or headsets are not to be used in lieu of approved personal protective equipment in noise hazard locations. All right, that's it. That's all the rules about earbuds. We move on to Section 2, Occupational Injury or Illness. A, reporting injuries or illness. If you are injured or become ill from work-related causes, you must report immediately to your supervisor, even if the problem seems minor. All right, it uses that key word in here, must. You must report immediately to your supervisor, even if the problem seems minor. So the whole idea that management will discipline you for a safety infraction is, or if you get, you know, hurt or injured or whatever, it's madness. There's OSHA rules against it, you know, like whistleblower protection rules. The EL 814 requires you to report such issues, and then for management to try to discipline you, you know, I've argued in a successful grievance that the threat of discipline creates a chilling effect that makes carriers not want to report accidents or injuries. Next, treatment. You must receive authorized medical evaluation and treatment or first aid in accordance with procedures outlined in the Employee and Labor Relations Manual, ELM 543. The lack of prompt attention to even slight injuries could lead to more serious complications. So again, we have that word must. You must receive authorized medical evaluation and treatment. So can you provide your own authorized medical evaluation? No, probably not. And so this responsibility by its very nature falls on management to arrange, to see to it that you get that proper care. Right, the burden here is on management, and we want to make sure we keep that burden on management. Two, reporting. Your supervisor must contact the medical or health unit, if available, or the local emergency rescue or paramedic unit, and report the type of injury and your location. They must follow the procedures outlined in ELM 544. All reports must comply with the requirements of the Postal Service, the Office of Workers' Compensation Programs, and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Three, prevention. Your supervisor must investigate and evaluate each accident and take any necessary measures to prevent the recurrence of similar incidents. And now I'm going to skip down to item F, smoking. Smoking is prohibited in all Postal Service facilities, like indoors on the workroom floor and in the lobby and, you know, in the building. Smoking is prohibited while collecting or delivering the mail. I don't know how strict people are about, you know, not smoking like while they're delivering. I know some people smoke just like continuously, and you are allowed to smoke in the vehicle. You can smoke while you're on your breaks, but apparently, and it makes sense, you know, when you're going up to people's door, you shouldn't be smoking. I remember one time when I was still a fairly new carrier, I think I was still a PTF, I tried to smoke a cigar while I was out delivering the mail, but you don't have enough hands. I need a hand for the cigar, and then I need two hands for the mail, and it did not work out. I tried that once. And then another time, because I knew we could smoke in the vehicle, during my lunch, I had a cigar. And man, the smell of that cigar inside the LLV, dude, the regular carrier, when they got back, they were rightly pissed at me. Yeah, I've had plenty of missteps in my time as a city carrier. All right, we'll move on to section 4, personal safety and protective equipment. A, personal safety. 1, clothing. Wear sensible, properly fitting clothing to work. Oversized clothing, wide flared pants, full dresses or skirts, fuller flared sleeves on shirts or blouses, neckties, scarves, loose aprons, and similar clothing can be hazardous if you work with machinery, vehicles, or moving equipment. Such clothing is not acceptable apparel for the workroom floor. So neckties, neckties are part of our official uniform, and in the ELM, when it talks about approved uniform combinations, some of them require neckties. But it says in here that you shouldn't wear a necktie if you're going to be working with a vehicle. And so that is a contradiction. I mean, these days, I doubt any, even the most adamant or hard-ass postmaster is probably not going to insist that you wear a necktie. But if they do, you know, here's part of your fight, right, of how to fight against that. And that's why we do this. That's why we look at all these rules and all these provisions, so that A, we can abide by them and make sure that we are discipline proof, like we talked about all throughout season 1, but also B, it gives us recourse where if management tries to pull some nonsense, you know, we can use this to fight back against that. Moving on. Do not wear neckties around moving machinery or automated equipment. If you must wear a tie, wear the clip-on variety. Dress appropriately for weather conditions. Next, we're going to skip down to number 4, shoes. Wear appropriate work shoes whether you walk many miles on a route or handle mail in the workroom. Wear shoes that are fully enclosed at the heels, toes, and sides, made of leather or substantial synthetic material. Canvas or nylon is not acceptable. The approved footwear for uniform program employees must have the SR/USA label, that is slip resistant, made in the USA, CELM 939 for exceptions. So to go back to that episode where I read from the ELM, at the very end, we get into the 900s, it talks about this. You can have medical reasons why you can't wear the postal approved shoe, and you have to clear that with management, you know, let them know, hey, I have this medical issue. And then you can even go out, buy your own shoes and submit the receipt to management, and that can be taken out of your uniform allotment. So I don't remember off the top of my head the whole process for that, but that's in ELM 939. Next, to eliminate slips, trips, and falls, do not wear the following types of shoes on the workroom floor. Heels more than 1.5 inches and soles more than 1/2 inch in height. So this makes me think of like the Hoka. I think it's Hoka shoes that have that super thick sole that probably is more than 1/2 inch. And so, you know, by this rule, those probably wouldn't be allowed. Next, spiked heels regardless of height. Open shoes, including open sides, toes, or heels, such as thongs, sandals, mules, house slippers, clogs, wedges, etc. Heels with steel taps. Dude, when am I going to get in my tap dancing practice? If not while I'm, you know, casing my mail. That's some bullshit right there. Shoes with cloth, nylon, or mesh woven tops, such as tennis shoes, athletic or jogging shoes, except those with leather or leather-like uppers, moccasins, etc. Shoes no longer adequate because of disrepair. So this is a tough one, especially for newer carriers with a limited uniform allotment. But even me at 20 years in, I'm buying my own shoes because I don't have enough uniform allotment to keep buying shirts and pants and then shoes on top of it. Not to mention, I have the issue that I have extra wide feet and post office doesn't sell New Balance anymore. And so I have to go outside of the post office to get my shoes. Otherwise, I physically cannot get shoes that fit. But this argument about shoes, you know, being in disrepair, this is an issue for a lot of carriers. And this is what's wrong with our uniform program as it exists. Like, this is a required part of our uniform, but we don't get adequate funding to meet the requirements of the program. All right, next, on to B, personal protective equipment. We're going to skip down to number 3, head protection. It's mostly about hard hats, but there's this section in here that says, regulation hats, caps, or pith helmets are recommended for protection from the sun or cold for employees working outdoors. So there's that. I wear the pith helmet. I like it. All right, we will do section 5, housekeeping and sanitation. Keeping your immediate work area clean is your personal responsibility. A neat and orderly workplace is a safer place to work. A, personal items. Where a locker and changing rooms are provided, keep your locker clean, neat, and free from debris. Do not store items on top of your locker. Eat food and store beverages only in authorized areas. Do not store or consume them in restrooms. Nah, that's a spoil sport. If I want to, you know, I'm sitting in the restroom, you got to refill. Like, as soon as you empty out, you got to refill. You got to keep that whole process going. Make your body like a big silly straw. All right, moving on. Dispose of food waste, etc., only in receptacles intended for this purpose. You are responsible for disposing of your own food waste, wrappers, cans, etc. B, obstacles. Keep aisles, passageways, stairs, exits, and all other walking areas free from obstructions at all times. Make sure that electrical panels, switches, firefighting equipment, exit doors, fire alarm stations, and postal inspector breakout doors are kept clear. C, emergency stop buttons, switches, and cords. You must be trained, on the clock, and on Postal Service premises in the use of emergency stop buttons, switches, and cords, etc., before you are assigned to a machine area. So this is where we're going to finish for today, but this makes me think of the CCAs who are ordered to throw parcels, especially in an area that might have a parcel sorting machine. It just listed off the training that you have to get on the clock on postal premises before you can be around that machine. And so this is a proper reason, right? This is a safety issue. So this is a proper reason for a CCA to refuse to do that sort of work, to work in the parcel pit, if they haven't been such, you know, thusly trained. Okay, so that's going to do it for today. And let's try out that voice changer one more time.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff. I'm going to have fun with this at some point in the future.
I might have fun with it now.
All right, that's enough of this nonsense. Let me turn that off.
Okay, so that is all I have for you guys today. Thank you very much for listening. There is much more of the EL 814 to come, and I'm going to continue reading it in future episodes. So thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all next time.